Welcome, my boy, and welcome to another week of Parsha Insights, Parsha's Kisisa. Be'ezus Hashem, tonight in Parsha Insights, we're going to discuss a topic that is a critically important topic, and I would love the message of this topic to spread far and wide. That's how much I believe in the things we're going to speak about tonight. Once again, for all of those who are looking at me live in the Heichal, for all of those that we just spoke to are listening on the phone, and for all of those who will listen to the recording once it's sent out, Baruchem Abayim to another week of Parsha Insights. Lezecher Nishmas Uleiwe Nishmas Rebecca Basterina and Leon Ben Rachel Neder Neshama Tahiris have a lichtige Gan Eden. In the beginning of the Parsha, Parsha's Kisisa, we talk about the Machatzis HaShekel. I think we've learned a great deal over the years about this well-known coin, the half shekel that was used to count everybody. No one could give more. Everyone in a certain age bracket had to give exactly the Machatzis HaShekel, and presumably that was done so that we could know in that age group, 20 and above, exactly how many there were. It should be noted as an aside that many of the laws of tzedakah are learned from this Machatzis HaShekel. The famous one from the Vilna Gaon, Zechusa Yogan Aleinu, that it says in the first pasuk, actually the second pasuk, Kisisa Shreis B'nei Yisrael, when you take the census, V'nosnu, that everyone is supposed to give as an atonement for his soul, the Machatzis HaShekel. We know tzedakah is one of those things about which Hashem says, you give and you'll get back. Test me, says the Ribbono Shel Olam, you'll see that if you give, you'll get back. And we see that in the word v'nosnu, for the nosnu is a palindrome, vav, nun, sof, nun, vav. Like in English you would say about dad or mom, or I think they say about race car also. And I think I saw this week even a more detailed one, something like a man, a plan, how does that one go? A man, a plan, Panama Canal, something like that. Well, obviously not exactly, because we'd have to end with the word Panama, but we are digressing. Anyways, the word v'nosnu is a palindrome, vavnu and sofnu and vav. It's in both directions, spelled exactly the same, to teach you that when you give, you get back. And then the pasuk tells us regarding the Machatzis HaShekel, probably the most famous idea, he'oshir lo yarbe v'hadar lo yamid. No matter how fabulously wealthy a person is, he shouldn't increase. He can only give the Machatzis HaShekel. Similarly, on the opposite end, no matter how destitute a person is, he's not allowed to decrease. He as well must give precisely the Machatzis HaShekel. And it is on this pasuk, and I don't actually think, similar to last week when we did Parshas Tetzave, we stayed on that one pasuk, V'yato Tetzave Shemen Zayezoch, Chosis Lamo'or. Similarly, this week we're going to stay on this concept and speak out many pshatim. There is the famous question on the words that I just told you, that the wealthy person is not allowed to give more, he can't increase, and the destitute, the poor, cannot decrease. And the well-known question is, why not? If a wealthy person has the ability to give abundantly more, why shouldn't he be allowed to? And why am I demanding payment from someone if they mamish cannot afford the half a shekel? What's meant by these words? So I'd like to dedicate the shiur to discussing multiple pshatim, other ways to understand these words. We'll say them one more time. Ha'oshir lo yarbe v'hadar lo yamid, that the one who's wealthy should not increase and the destitute shall not decrease. Obviously, there have to be other pshatim, otherwise you're left with the question we just asked, why not? And that why not would be applicable in both directions. Let's start with the first pshat from the Sefer Zecher Binyamin. He brings down something so incredible. Sometimes Rabbi Isai, that wealthy person, the one who has the financial goods, the one who's leading a privileged life, sometimes he gets a little too into himself. It's all about the self-aggrandizement. The world belongs to me. You know, that person who used to be my friend, but now that they made it and they're so fabulously wealthy, all of a sudden they use their privileged life and they feel, I'm completely above reproach. You know, I realize it's just a joke, but it drives home the point fabulously well. There was a person that unfortunately was incredibly destitute. He didn't even have money to buy a lottery ticket. Friends chipped in and bought him a lottery ticket. And lo and behold, a friend found out in the middle of the night that that fellow, who was mamish the oni ve'evyon, the ultimate of being destitute, he won the $10 million lottery. Now, it's the middle of the night, but of course you want to say such great news, so the friend gets up, he puts on his clothing, he drives his car, he wipes off the snow. Snow, well, we're not familiar with here in South Florida, but maybe some of the listeners are. He wipes, he goes into the car, drives, he knocks on the door, knocks and knocks and knocks, nobody's answering, nobody's answering. He's pounding on the door, nobody's answering. After 20 minutes of banging, that friend that was the destitute Anif, who now won the lottery but have no way of knowing about it, he doesn't even have a radio that works. He comes to the door, groggy-eyed, he opens it up. He opens up the door and he says to his friend, like, what are you doing the last time? He says, you won, you won, you won. You won, you're a gvir, you won the lottery. I came to tell you. And his friend looks at him and says, let me get this straight. I'm an usher? Yes, that's what I'm telling you. I'm a gvir? Yes, that's what I've been telling you. He looks at his friend and says, azah chutzpah, waking up a gvir in the middle of the night. And that's mamish. What happens to a person? They all of a sudden have their financial standings change. A minute ago, the fellow was destitute. He was the Ani Ve'evyon, and now he's the Gvir. He won the lottery. Azah chutzpah, waking up a Gvir in middle of the night? You don't know better? The person feels that they're beyond reproach. Now, sometimes it works the other way. The person who's struggling, the person who's poor, the person who's destitute, because of his financial state or lack thereof, he thinks, I'm worthless, low self-esteem, worthless in my eyes, worthless in the eyes of people. We know, unfortunately, many people feel that they define themselves or are defined by that dollar sign, which is horrible, incorrect, but unfortunately it's true. Comes along the Sefer Zecher Binyamin and says, it's to this approach and attitude on both sides that the Torah is addressing. Number one, you the usher, you the gvir. You who just hit the $10 million lottery and have the attitude, azah chutzpah, waking up a gvir in the middle of the night, you don't know better? To that person we say, he usher, you the wealthy person, lo yarbe. Don't increase, meaning don't increase yourself. Don't have the self-aggrandizement towards yourself. Don't think that because you have those wealth, it brings the power and the wisdom, and now that you're beyond reproach. We're addressing the usher when we say, lo yarbe, you shouldn't let it get to you. Besides, we know that there's no saying if a person is wealthy today becomes destitute tomorrow, unfortunately. Lo yarbe is a message to that usher. Don't let it get to your head. Don't let it increase you and your ego and inflate you so that you swell. Lo yarbe. Now that's a powerful vart. In fact, I'll share with you for one moment a vart. I don't say it over often, honestly, because it's such a powerful vart. A person has to be willing to listen, but I'll share it with you. It's based on a pasuk in Megillas Rus at the very end of the first parak, when the ummi is bemoaning, call me mara, call me bitter. She doesn't have her husband Elimelech anymore. She doesn't have any of her wealth. She doesn't have her sons Machlon and Chilion. One daughter-in-law left. One is clinging tenaciously. She says a pasuk at the end of the first chapter of Megillas Rus. Ani melea helachti verekem hashivani Hashem. Now, literally what it means is, ani melea helachti. When I left here 10 years earlier, I was full. I had wealth. I had riches. I had it all. Verekem hashivani Hashem. But now I'm returning empty-handed. The Bali Musar say a very powerful pshat, but applies them beautifully to the Zecher Binyamin. Be careful, we address the one who has the wealth and all the gifts. Ani melea. Sometimes when you're so mully, you're so full of the gifts and the worldly possessions and the financial standing, halachti, it might cause the person to be a hoylech, to go away from the ways of Hashem, to leave the Dalet Amos of the Torah, and to forget Hashem, to forget who they were. A chutzpah, waking up a gvir in the middle of the night. So what happens? Verekam. Sometimes Hashem has to verekam, empty that person, take away some of those goods, so that, heshivani Hashem, the person returns to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's a pshat. Ha'oshir, you the oshir, lo yarbe. Don't let it change you or affect you. And might I add, it's not only referring to the financial bank account, but the gifts a person might have. Whatever those gifts are, they are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gifts. To use them, don't abuse them. Don't let them change you who you are. And conversely, we now turn to the ani. And what does the Pasuk say? V'hadal lo yamit. Destitute should not give less. That means we turn to this person who's destitute. Rabbi Yisai, listen to this pshat. Listen to this pshat. We turn to the dal and we say to the pshat, lo yamit. Don't give less means don't belittle yourself. Don't think less of yourself. Don't think that it means you're lacking wisdom, or people aren't taking you seriously, or you're worthless in your own eyes. Yeshua Hashem keharef ayin, the salvation of Hashem can come in the blink of an eye, and tomorrow that person can be wealthy. Today that person is wealthy in so many other areas. We turn to the one who's feeling the low self-esteem, the hadal. I don't have what they have. I don't have it in my bank account. I don't have it in this or that or whatever it might be. And we say, lo yamit, don't belittle yourself. Lo yamit, don't think less of yourself. Now that's a pshat. There is a bit of a variation on the pshat that I just shared with you from the Kushnitz Magid. The Kushnitz Magid takes the pshat that I just expressed a moment ago, which, by the way, might I just repeat for a moment, it would do us all well to remember that when we do have those extraordinary blessings and we feel like the usher, lo yarbe, don't let it change you, get to you, and make you into a different person. Chalila. And on the moments that we feel like a dal, destitute, and things aren't going our way, lo yamit. Don't belittle yourself and knock yourself and be too hard on yourself with a low self-esteem. The Kushnitz Magid says it a bit differently, and I thought it was a fabulous pshat. He says, don't view this pasuk as referring to the material wealth, the financial standing, the worldly possessions, but rather, let's take these exact words and apply it to whether you're spiritually wealthy or spiritually poor. You've learned a great amount and you've accomplished so much, or you haven't accomplished very much at all. But now let's revisit the same six words, but spiritually, says the Heilige Kushnitz Magid Zechusa Yogan Aleinu, read it like this. When it comes to that person who's spiritually wealthy, lo yarbe. Lo yarbe over here means don't increase, meaning don't overstate what you have. Whatever you've achieved, remember, there's still so much more to accomplish. There's still so much more to achieve, to attain perfection. Don't view yourself as that tzaddik. View yourself as a beinoni. I am in the middle. I'm giving half a coin, machzit ha-shekel, to remind myself. Rabbi Yisai, no matter how much you have accomplished spiritually, lo yarbe, don't increase it in your mind by saying, it's enough, I'm amazing, I accomplished, I achieved. Rabbi Yisai, there are many reasons that you don't want to say that. Obviously not the least of which is that we're put in this world to always improve, be better tomorrow than today, and today than yesterday, and that's of course true. But there are so many pshatim, if time would allow, we would bring down, you never want to say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, oh, I'm done, I've achieved perfection, really? If you've achieved perfection, you're ready to go up, the person, you want to be able to say, please keep me in this world. I have so much more to accomplish. I have so much more that I need to achieve. I have not yet done a percentage of a percentage. Don't come with the arrogant attitude, I've overachieved, I'm a tzaddik, I'm done. If you're done, the Ribbono Shel Olam views things differently. So to that one who is an usher, truly, he's spiritually extraordinary. Truly, he has achieved. Lo yarbet, don't overstate it. Rather, realize you're a beinoni, and there's so much more to accomplish. And when it comes to the person who's spiritually poor, oy, is this a powerful pshat? Please open up your hearts. To the person who's spiritually pure, who may not have much Torah to his name, may not have many mitzvahs to his credit, to that person we say, to the dal, the one who's feeling that way, they haven't accomplished very much spiritually, lo yamit. Don't underestimate. Don't minimize. Lo yamit. Don't lessen or undervalue your true worth. Don't minimize the importance of what you've achieved. You're right, there's always room to grow, but you're not a rusher. You're not a rusher. You as well give a machzis a shekel to remind yourself you're a beinoni, and you've accomplished. As we said last week, you know, we spoke it out, Rabbi Yisai, in great detail. You don't know the way that things are counted in Shemayim. You don't know in Asbaklari Meir the way that things are counted. Down here, you might think it's minimized, or it's inconsequential, or, oh, dare I say, meaningless. But in Shemayim, it was an extraordinary accomplishment. You think it was small. The system in Shemayim is not like the system down here, as we already said last week. And so to the dal, to the one who is impoverished spiritually, who thinks, but I only know this amount of Mishnayos. I could barely get through a Rashi. I tried so hard and I'm not successful. I wish I could do more. Lo yamet. Don't minimize your accomplishments. Don't minimize your accomplishments. They have indeed been extraordinary. And in Shemayim, they are counted and reckoned in a way that we cannot even fathom. Oy, that pshat from the Koshnitz Magid. Ha'oshir lo yarbe v'hadal lo yamet. Before we go on, how could I not share with you for 30 seconds a pshat from the Kloisenberger Rebbe on the topic, yet not exactly, but I feel it has to be mentioned. Sometimes when a person comes to their spirituality, they look for someone who has less, and they say, compared to him, I'm mamash a tzaddik. And when it comes to their gashmius, oh, I wish I had more. Why can't I have that type of house or car? Every day in Aleinu we say, Bashamayim mima'al v'yal ha'aretz mitachas. Says the Kloisenberger Rebbe, Bashamayim, when it comes to Shamayim, heavenly things, meaning spirituality, mima'al, look for someone above you. Look for someone who's accomplished more. Strive for more and greater, but ba'aretz. When it comes to arsius, when it comes to gashmius, when it comes to materialism, when it comes to wealth, mitochas, look for people who have less than you, and you'll realize how content you should be, how happy you should be, how privileged indeed you are. So many don't have it as well as you have it. What an extraordinary pshat. And now let's move on to tie all of these pshatim together in Darash Moshe. That Moshe Feinstein, Zeichet Tzadik, V'Kodesh Levracha, explains this whole concept about the usher and the dal and the one that thinks they haven't accomplished very much, and isn't it meaningless, I can't do like the others? Reb Moshe reminds us, it's actually why sometimes people are lax in their avodas Hashem. They have a low self-esteem. I'm not a giant. I'm not a goyin. I haven't really accomplished very much. Whatever I did didn't amount to very much. This is misplaced humility. Sometimes this low self-esteem brings to that type of attitude. Rav Moshe reminds us, every yid has within themselves the ability to achieve greatness with healthy effort, with a proper attitude, with a good dosage of self-esteem. Every person has that ability, and that's why there's the mitzvah of machatzis hashekel. Machatzis HaShekel is not only to count, but Machatzis HaShekel is a way that for the person who's feeling so impoverished, so low, not good about themselves, it's a way of lifting that person up. And I'll bring you a raya, because everybody gives the same Machatzis HaShekel. That reminds everybody we're on equal footing. We're on equal footing. That most distinguished Talmud Chacham is giving a Machatzis HaShekel, and I'm also giving a Machatzis HaShekel? You mean he and I share something in common? I now start seeing my life in a new light. I now start seeing that all that I have accomplished, maybe there is godlessness within my grasp. I give a Machatzis HaShekel, and he's giving a Machatzis HaShekel. He's a Veld Talmud Chacham. He's an extraordinary scholar. He's accomplished so much. And I give the same amount as he. We are on equal footing. There's hope for me, says Reb Moshe. And that's precisely why the Torah uses the word ki sisa esroish b'nei Yisrael. Sisa is a very interesting word, unusual word to count. Wouldn't a far more common word to count? We have many other words that we could use. The word to moine or poke, or there are many other words to say count. Why the word sisa? The Mefarshim explained, because the word sisa is also from the word vayisa or nuso, to lift up. This word is used not only to tell you to count, but to tell you it raises a person up. Kisisa, become uplifted. You become uplifted because you have an increased self-worth. It's not only telling you to count, it's telling you to feel uplifted, to feel like you're rising up, if you have an increased self-worth. Reb Moshe then says so spectacularly, that is why in Parshas Bamidbar, there's the census taken of Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar, and there the Pasuk also uses the word nesoi, neso to count. In Bamidbar, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Beis. That's always read on the Shabbos before Shavuos. Reb Moshe says to teach us, because as you're approaching Shavuos and you're coming towards Matan Torah, remember your true potential. Remember never to sell yourself short, and that's why the Pasuk goes out of its way to specifically use that word. The Pasuk says, Se'u Esroish B'nei Yisrael, Se'u, to go ahead and to lift up in that counting. It's a way to encourage us to achieve even more. Don't allow us to hold ourselves back. And that's why precisely before Shavuos says Reb Moshe, when you're going to commemorate Kabbalah Sotaira, remind yourself, Se'u, Nesoi, Vayisa, Kisisa, lift yourself up and remind yourself what you could accomplish. Rabbi, this past week in our Shabbos Drasha, I had a chance to share with the Olam of Pshat from the Chassam Sofer I have here in front of me. It is such a powerful pshat. I know that if you heard it in the drasha, but allow me to go ahead and share with you again. In the parsha, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu was to speak. Moshe Rabbeinu was to speak to the Chacham Lev, Chachmei Lev, Ata Tedaber of Bnei Yisrael. To the beginning of last week's parsha, you remember I said this in the drosha Shabbos morning. Literally, it means that Moshe Rabbeinu was to tell all of the people, the Chachmei Lev, all of the intricacies of how to build the Kalim of the Mishkan, how to craft the Begadim of the Kayanim. Now, as an aside, you must wonder, how should these people know how to do that? All they've done for a couple hundred years was mortar and bricks in Egypt, and now they're becoming the absolute finest, most intricate, exquisite tailors, someone who could craft things better than the finest. Where do they have this knowledge from? Where do they have this ability from? And yet they did. And the Pasuk says, V'ata tedaber el kochach melev, Moshe, you're to speak to all of these wise-hearted people, asher meleis of ruach chochma, that have been invested with the spirit of wisdom. What should he say to them? What should he say to them? What should Moshe Rabbeinu say to these chachmei lev who only know from what they've done in Mitzrayim with the bricks and the mortar? What should he say to them that could create this belief that they have the ability to create the most intricate big day kahuna and kelim of the Mishkan? What should he say to them? Says the Chacham Sofer, you didn't read the pasuk correctly. You read it as V'ata tedaber el kol chachmei lev, speak to all of the wise hearted asher meleis of ruach chochma, that have been invested with the spirit of wisdom. No, 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 no. The Chassam Sefer says, read the pasuk differently. V'ata tedaber kol chachmei lev, Moshe Rabbeinu, speak to all of these people. And you know what you should say to them? You know what message you should tell them? The next four words are the words you should say to them. Say to them, asher mileis of ruach chachma, you're invested with the spirit of wisdom. You have that ability within you. You can do it. It may not have been something you believed you could achieve with what you did in Mitzrayim. But the message, says the Chassam Sofer, that Moshe Rabbeinu was to tell the Chachmei Lev was these words. If you take a look at the Chassam Sofer, he says, Uma tedaber aleihem. What message should I tell them to get them to believe themselves? The answer is, Asher mileis of ruach chochma. That's not a description of them. That's what you tell them. You are great. You are invested with wisdom. You have the talents and capabilities within you to bring out the beauty and the intricacies of the Big Day Kahuna and of the Kalim of the Mishkan. Those are the words to say. The Chavis HaLevavis brings down. Ki b'leiv ha'anoshim netuya chochma. In the heart of all, there's a plant of chokhma, there's wisdom, there's extraordinary greatness. But it needs the one, she'ya'ayram al-zeh, to awaken it within them, to reveal it within them, to bring it out from within them, and bring out that which is tamun, hidden, and reveal it. Vim lav, because if chas v'sholom, no one does that for the person, Yihya Tomer Vinelam, it will forever remain hidden. Now that's a powerful Chavis HaLevavis. And that's the Machatzis HaShekel. Everybody give the half. And don't think because you don't have or you aren't or it's been inconsequential, that same half is given by the greatest scholars, by the most prominent, by the most distinguished, because you do have it within you. We need, as the Chavis HaLevavis says, to be ma'ir each other. Bring it out. Do you remember what the Chassam Sofer said? How is it possible these people should know how to do intricate Big Day Kahuna and Kalim of the Mishkan? Because you look at them and you say, my tire yid, asher mileis of ruach chokhma. You have it within you. You have it within you. We said a pshat from the Tolner Rebbe. The Tolner Rebbe says the Kruvim had to be miksha. Miksha literally means it had to be crafted and hammered and created. The Tolner Rebbe learns that there was a large, large block of gold. And one miksha worked without to bring out the Kruvim. The Tolner Rebbe says that means symbolically the Kruvim were already in that gold. The Kruvim were already in that block of gold. Your job was to remove what doesn't belong, to remove and to reveal and to expose those Kruvim that symbolically were always within. Our children are the Kruvim. And the Tolner Rebbe says in education, it's the job of a parent, of an educator, of a fellow Yid, to be there, to encourage, to peel away, to reveal, to remind, to develop, to cultivate that greatness that's within. It's there. Asher Miles of Ruach Chochma. It is there, as we just said, the Machatzis HaShekel. Kisisa, rise up with that healthy dose of self-esteem. But it is there, and it's just waiting to be revealed and to be brought out. Like the Kruvim, our children, it's there. We have to reveal it. I did say on Motzei Shabbos, as you recall, it's not always easy. The other time it says Miksha is by the Menorah. Now, when Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to know what the Menorah looked like, it was thrown into a fire and it came out as a nest, the Menorah. Why didn't we experience the same nest by the Kruvim? Throw it into a fire, let it come out, says the Tolna Rebbe, because the Kruvim are our children. That's education. And when it comes to education, we don't rely on a nest. When it comes to educating our children, we just don't take the easy way of relying on a nest, throwing it into a fire, and a second later it's done. It's with difficulty and challenges, it's with diligence, it's with hard work. Unlike the miksha of the menorah, is the miksha of the kruvim. I hope, Be'ezras Hashem, that everyone who hears these words takes the inspiration of the Machzis HaShechel. That from the Sefer Zecher Binyamin, that from the Koshnitz Magid, that from Reb Moshe, that from the Kleisenberger Rebbe, the Pshat we said from the Chsam Sefer, the two Pshatim we said from the Tolner Rebbe, because by being there to encourage each other and bringing out that greatness, may we merit the bracha of the Nasnu, will give to others and will be zeicha to get back. We'll be able to inspire others, and we in turn, Be'ezus Hashem, will always be inspired.